Kay, you have got to be one of the best piano players. I'm serious, hands down. That was beautiful, huh? Very beautiful playing. Leslie, wonderful job with the music. He's doing great. Alvin Bryant, that was the best word of the month we've had here. So, I mean, hands down.
You're going to have to step up your game now.
I know it. How do I compete with that? I forgot. I would have never thought of that. Talk about thinking outside the box. I'm telling you what. If you have your Bibles this morning, and I know you do, there's one up in the pew. If you don't have your with you, turn to Hebrews 10 is where I want us to begin this morning. And nice and calmly, I'm going to, yeah, see, I write on the top of my paper right there, slow down. That's what I have to write. Today's title, can y'all hear me okay? You got me, David?
Yes.
I'm going to be walking. Today's title, my message title, is taken out of Hebrews 10. We're going to be in 19 through 23, and then we're going to be in 24 and 25. We're going to be in Hebrews 11 also is where we'll be. But starting Hebrews 10 is where we're going to start today, okay? And I'll be picking up at 19 in just a minute. Today's message title is called Keep Running With It. And it's been, in light of everything that's been going on with the church and a lot of everything that's going, I do want us to remember that we keep going. We number one, we stay constant in what we do. Number two, we stay faithful in what we do. Number three, we stay seeking in what we do. Number four, we stay running in what we do. We never let up is what the key message is. We never, never quit. And number five, we're going to look at, and if I don't make it through number five today, we'll cover number five tonight, but it is stay committed. I encourage you, today will be an own continuation of tonight of what's going to happen. So discipleship classes are at 5 o'clock. Evening service is at 6 o'clock. It's just the evening service. I'll probably go about 20 to 30 minutes. That's it. So keep in mind, please, I encourage you, come back tonight and enjoy the festivities. If you're hungry, I feed back there too, so you can come get something to eat if you want to. It ain't going to hurt my feelings none. You're just going to have to fight the youth for it. But whatever. You can probably win, you know. So, yeah, get there early enough. 10, 19 through 23, it says, a call to persevere in faith. And let's pick up in 10, 19 right there, okay? Hebrews 10, 19. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let's pray. Father, we just love you, and we thank you, God, for each and every blessing that you give us, God. Thank you, Lord, for your word and what it means to each and every one of us, Father, that we're just able to look at it, Father God, and we draw strength. We draw encouragement, Father God. We draw everything we need, Father, as we start our day ones. We look towards you, God. I just pray, Lord, that you will bless each and every person that is in here this morning, Father God. Even the ones that are absent, dear God, be with them also. But everything that we say and everything that we do, dear God, that we just point it back to you, God. Be with us as we look at your word, as we study your word, Father. Help us to take the message, dear God, and apply it directly to our lives. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name I pray, amen. And it says, I love the first word that really jumped out of me when I started preparing this thing was, let us, 23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. I don't know, I'm sure, quick hand count real quick. Who's all taught somebody how to drive in here? Yeah, basically each and every one of you. My girls are no good at it. No, it's scary. It is, hands down. It's scary, Larry. You know what I'm talking about. It's bad. I'll give you some true examples of what happens. Our latest one, Martha Kate, bless her heart. She's getting better. She is. She's learning how to do it. She's getting better. I went from both hands on the dash to now I'm just like holding on with a handle, you know what I mean? Kind of makes you nervous. I want to meet the Lord, but not right now. You know, I want to be, you got to be careful. Martha Kate just tends to get in her own little thing, and she tends to start talking, and then I'm like, well, hey, and then you just got to watch her. True story, one time, I'm not picking on Martha Kate, I'll leave her alone, but she's getting better and better is the main thing. And the word we look at, Mitanya and I definitely know something about swerving, so that's where I'm getting at. Emily, true story, when Emily was learning to drive, we had been to church here at this wonderful time and had the best. That's back when we all rode in one vehicle. Now we take like three separate ones. But we all rode together, and Emily said, I want to drive coming home. I said, absolutely. So we're going down Highway 14. True story. We're driving. Everything is fine. I think we're possibly even singing Amazing Grace. It couldn't be better. Emily goes to turn off, take a right onto 29. Y'all where I know where I live, right down that road. Emily missed the entire road and went into the ditch. Yeah, she never missed a beat is the next thing. So there wasn't time to holler. Well, there was. We hollered. But then we're back out of the ditch, coming back up. And I was like, what just happened? How did you find? That's a true story. And it was. You're talking about everything's happy. Trying to make your Sunday go right in line, right? No sinning today. We're going to be perfect. We just been and got all the Jesus we can handle. Let's just apply it to our life. Then that happens. Everybody, ruined it. Everybody had to go to their rooms when we got home. It was horrible. But those things, they tend to happen when we swerve. When you teach younger kids, when they model the way, you have to start somewhere with them. Now, Anna, I'll pick on her for just a second. Anna's never been much of a swerver. She's my lightest child I have, but she has the heaviest foot of all of them. She's 90 to nothing, pedal to the metal. Back off, you're scaring me, stop. You know, just slow down. It's 45, I think, not 75. It's just, she's in a hurry. Daddy, if you ain't first, you last. I said, I don't know what movie she pulled that off of, but it's scary. If you ain't first, you last. I said, what does that even mean, Anna? What does that even mean? I just don't like to be passed. It makes me feel slow. And those are different things that we deal with. But God's word encourages us to not swerve, or to stay focused on what God has in store for us. We stay constant in God's word. That's what 19 through 23 says, that we don't. Let us draw. 22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled. Stay faithful, stay constant, right where we're supposed to be is the main message that I can point you to. 24 and 25, right there in 10 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day that he's referring to is right there, and the day that Jesus comes back. And the day to always be ready. Garner gave us real big news last Sunday. And I can't tell you enough of what Garner's and Joe both have meant in my life. And the example, the witness that he's been, the friend that he's been, the preacher that he's been. There's so many hats that he wears that he has been right there through thick and thin. And all the main thing that Garner has done that has stuck out to me the most, not all to mention all the wisdom, but the encouragement that he has given me to keep on towards the prize, to know that one day when I consider Garner and when I consider the words that honestly come to my mind are, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. They truly are. And when we stay faithful, Patsy, if y'all remember, asked us to pray last week. She asked us to pray for the will of God. She asked us to pray for our church, to pray for whatever the next chapter, the new chapter, because it's exciting. It truly is. It's exciting of what's going to happen. Things change all the time in our lives. They do, believe it or not. It's hard to meet, but Anna's here this morning. That's Anna and Anna. but they're both going to be rooming together at UAB. It's different. I'm scared. Four. Because it's something new. I'm not going to be there down the hall. You know what I mean? I know, praise the Lord, I'm able to text her, you know, because I'll do that a lot. But it's different. She's not going to be under my roof. And this is what's so different. She's going to be out. It's different things like that. The main thing that as we look to it, I want to encourage you that our faith needs to be in action. New chapters. We all have different gifts. I've seen so many in this church. It is just unbelievable between the hospitality, between the cooking, between the leadership, between the organizing, between the praying, just whatever your gift may be. Remember that we need it faithful. We need it in our church. It's right where we need to be. We never need to, as he says, don't meet up on the habit of not doing, but encouraging one another is what God's word says. Encouraging one another, staying faithful to what he wants us to do. It's amazing what happens when 100 people pray at the same time. Our hearts in one accord. Y'all didn't know God drove a Honda back then, did you? But it says that in the Bible. But it's so important that we're able to stay together is what we do. We stay together. Because instead of one person praying, 100 is so much more powerful in what it may be. Amen? I mean, that's the truth. That's right in front of you. That is so right in front of you. Look at God's word also. It's right there in Hebrews. If you'll look over at 11, chapter 11, verse 6, I want to point out something that God encourages us to stay seeking. He does. He wants us to keep looking, Larry Moritz. He wants us to keep finding, to never back off. Stay seeking. Look at what Hebrews 11, 6 says. Everybody got it? Head nods? And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. When we seek him, when we look for him, when you get up, I know bad stuff happens on a daily basis. I get it. We all have problems. We all have. The list could be long. If I went person to person and I said, what's going on in your life today that needs prayer? That list would be 7 pages, 8 pages, 9 pages, whatever the thing may be, if we got on that personal, that intimate level. But remember to look at those things that happen and to remember to find God in each and every one of them. Stay seeking. Stay looking for him right there in his word. Now, the next one that we actually come to, we actually see, well, let me ask you this too. 1 John 3:18 through 16. This is what's so amazing to me. If you actually flip over to 1 John, which is just a couple of pages, okay? You're going to go through James, you're going to go through 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and then you're right there at 1 John. So it's just like about 20 pages in my Bible, so not many in yours, hopefully. But 1 John 3, 16 through 18, turn to that real quick, because I want us to just pay really close attention about how God wants us to. We stay seeking in him. Look at what he says right here. And hold your place in Hebrews, because we're going to go right back, okay? But 1 John 3, 16 through 18 said, this is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. 17 says, if anyone has material possessions, sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? 18 says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Actions. Let's show them. I just listed you out several things. We all have those gifts. We all have those actions that we can contribute. As VBS gets closer, as Gridiron gets closer, singing in the choir weekly, praying, hospitality, incur, whatever that gift may be. Those are things that God has blessed us with that are just so impressive. Miss Becky, flowers this morning, whatever it may be. We search, we stay constant, we stay faithful, we stay seeking after God in his will and exactly what he wants us to do for us. And it says, it's amazing how God's word speaks to us when we think about it, because we're able to to take the Word of God and we're able to apply it directly to our lives. The message today is simple, ladies and gentlemen. It is simple as it can be. If you stay constant, you stay faithful, you stay seeking, you stay running, you stay committed to God's Word and the plans He has for you. It is that simple and what is so important. Now, flip back. You're right there at Hebrews 11. I hope you held your place, but go right back to it. Hebrews 11, 7. I'm sorry, I'm going to start you off right there. Hebrews, we'll start at 11, 6. We're going to start right there and then go from there. Hebrews 11, 6. And this was part of the stay seeking. If I just read this, I'm sorry, I'm going to reread it one more time, then we're going to follow into a 7. And look at what 6 says. It says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him in everything we do." Look at what 7 says right there. We're going to look at what happens when our faith stays in action, when it keeps going. Hebrews 11, 7 says, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not even seen yet, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith." What amazing. Noah had never not even seen rain yet. And God told him to build this ark to construct it, and he did. Man, what a personal walk with God. You could just say, my goodness. Skip right down. Staying in chapter 11. Look at verse 17. This is also one that we've talked about before. Look at what 17 says. "By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac, his own son, as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.' Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so, in manner of speaking, he did. He received Isaac back from death because he was going to do it. Till the angel said at the last minute, 'Abraham, stop. Stop. Don't.' It was over. He was doing it." It's amazing how their faith, they stayed right in action. We'll look at one more right there. Look at 11, 29 through 34. Maybe I can flip over one more page right there. Look at what 29 says. 11, 29 in Hebrews. "By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." 32 says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flame, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and rooted in foreign armies." Their faith kept them right where God wanted them. They were faithful. They were obedient to God, is what it was. Back then, and even now, it's the same story. All God calls us to do is be faithful to Him. Stay right there in His Word. And we do so. We keep running with it, is what we do. We stay committed. We stay focused. We stay faithful, grounded, seeking. We stay running. Look at what Hebrews 12 tells us is what's so important. We're just moving right along through Hebrews is what we're doing. And I challenged the graduates last week with this one. But it was so important to me that we all tend to get weighed down by sin. We all tend to get wrapped up in maybe earthly thing and maybe something that's going on. But look at what God's Word tells us right there. Look at 12:1, and this is so, so, so good. He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." Whatever's weighing you down right now, whatever's weighing you down today, I challenge you. The altar's going to be open at the end of the service. Maybe there's a rededication you need to do. Maybe you want to accept Christ for the first time and just say, Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired of having all this on my head. Push it up to God and let Him have it is what's so beautiful. Give it to Him, everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, that weighs us down. Keep your focus on Christ is what is so important, right where it needs to be. Brother Tommy, I know you can attest to that. You keep your faith right where it needs to be. You keep your eyes on God. That's where right where they need to be each and every day. He says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Say it with me. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame. And He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary, you will not lose heart. In everything we say, in everything we do, we will stay focused. We will stay committed to right what God has in store for us. That's what the beauty of God's Word is that He has a plan for each and every one of us. Amen? Amen, He does. My number 5 is something that is so, we stay committed is what we do. We stay committed to Christ. We stay committed to the work that He has for us. We stay committed in the ways we should go. Another word for committed that when I was praying about this message, listen, that thing's driving me crazy. I'm hitting 3 times. Stay committed is determined. We're determined. Tanya does these cross-stitching things, and I've shown y'all some of her work before. She did me a face of Jesus that turned out just beautiful. And man, when she dives into these things, it takes her time. I mean, it takes time. But she stays constant with it. She does it every night. Every single night, like clockwork, she'll do it. She'll sit down for at least 45 minutes, whether it's in the bedroom before we go to sleep or whether it's in the den. She will sit down there and she will cross-stitch. Her latest project, I told y'all, new chapters, new beginnings. Anna's getting ready to go to college, and we're nervous and we're excited. Tanya's actually making her a cross for their room, and she's cross-stitching. I blew that one. I thought she knew. Anyway, we'll keep going. Y'all pay no attention to her. I'm so sorry. I had no idea. I thought she had seen it. Anyway, I need to keep going. She's making her this beautiful cross. The cross represents 2 things, is what it represents. It represents me and her mother because Tanya's making it from her hands. But it represents her faith, too, to always remember where God is in her life. Amen. Because she's going to a totally new chapter, a new beginning, something totally different. And we want her to remind her that where her faith needs to be, how she needs to be constant in God. That's what the cross represents. But it'll be a pretty piece for their wall that we're going to get framed for. Those are the reminders. Those are the being determined. John Lee still tickles me the best about being determined, because if y'all remember a few weeks ago, a couple of months, whenever it might have been, we were talking about his school and stuff. You know, and he told me the teacher he had was, woo, you know, y'all remember that? You remember that? That meant bad. I knew what it meant. He was upset. Or he wasn't upset. He said, she's a rough teacher, Mr. Michael. She's mean. I was like, oh, she ain't mean. She just wants you to learn more. That's exactly what she wants you to do. But John Lee, you got to stay committed. You got to stay determined. You'll get through that class. And you'll have another woo-hoo next year. One will probably be even worse. Those are those different things when we set our minds to it, just like God's Word did. If you flip back just a couple of much, I'm gonna share with you one thing. Go to 1 Timothy, and the same thing you're doing again is just flipping back just a few pages, okay, to a different book right there. But it's 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to give y'all a second just to get there when we stay committed to it. We've all been through tough times, and we wondered how we got through them. We wondered what carried us through. A lot of times it was the will of God is what carried us through. A lot of times it's God's plan for us to go through those times because they build character in us, perseverance in us. They build up those certain things. We stay intent. The main thing is when we're going through those, we look to Jesus Christ. We ask Him, God, where are you in this situation? I need you. God's always right there with us. God's word tells us plainly, He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Look at 1 Timothy right there. In 1 right there, y'all all know this was written by Paul. And everybody knows Paul is responsible for so many letters and books of the Bible and stuff that he reads. But look at how he describes himself. And this is what I really want to hammer home as we stay committed, as we stay determined to finish. Look at 12 right there. Let's look at 12 through 17 right there, chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. It says, the Lord's grace to Paul, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. This is how Paul's describing himself. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. 15 says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Man, that's powerful. How he talks about himself. We haven't been through near the stuff that Paul's been through. And look at how he, blasphemer, persecutor, a violent man. And look at what the grace of God, the grace of Jesus did for him. Look at how it showed favor on him. It showed a blessing in him is what it did. It was amazing that he was able to take all those and everything that he had endured, everything he had been through, and look at what he's done up until this point. I ask you the question today. Look at your own life and what you might have think you've done that might make you be ashamed to be in front of God or to be able to think that, oh, I've done this, I'm so bad. I'm telling you, we all have those new beginnings. We all have those chapters that begin, and they begin with accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It starts right there. That's all you have to do. Everything that I've covered today, to stay constant, to stay faithful, to stay seeking, to stay running, to stay committed, it all points back to your relationship with Jesus Christ is what it does. Look at how he finishes it. But for this very reason, I was shown, 16 says, before this very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Man, are you telling me, shouldn't that be our prayer? Shouldn't that be our prayer? It should be, because we're acknowledging God as the source. He's the one. The last things he calls us to do, the five things that I've covered today, is all we have to do is be faithful to Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. If there is anything that's hindering you, the sin that so easily entangles you this morning, come down and see one of us. Brother Benny's down here in his easy chair. You can sit right beside him and talk to him. I'll be right up front. It's amazing how God shows love to each and every one of us. It's amazing how blessed we truly are. He said, when we set our minds on God's word, God keeps us right there at the forefront. Let's pray. Father, we just love you and we thank you, God, for each and everything that you have done for us, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for your word, dear Lord, that we're able to draw from it, that we're just able to be in your presence, dear God. Thank you, Lord, for
the books of the Bible, dear God, where we're able to see, and we're able to see Timothy and Paul and Father God, their words, all the way to 1 John, that we're able to just see and we're able to grow from them, dear God. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, God, for this church, for all the people. And may everything that we do this week, we be for your honor and your glory. If there's somebody out there this morning, Father, who's got a doubt in their mind about where they'll go, I pray, Lord, you'll send them forward right now so that when you leave, they leave this house, Father God, they'll know our hearts are in one accord. Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you. Amen. As Leslie brings